The scripture reading for this morning is first from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, beginning in verse 22, and then from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Numbers 6, beginning in verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And then from Luke 24, there we will begin reading in verse 44. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you according to what you find in Luke 24, verse 50. Luke 24, verse 50. And he, the Lord Jesus, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. We speak this morning about blessing hands. Blessing hands. In the first place, we consider the place that the Lord Jesus blessed his people for the last time here beneath. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. In the second place, we consider the way in which he departed from his church. And he lifted up his hands. And in the third place, we consider the content of his blessing and blessed them. My dear children, another time for you. Blessing hands. The place, the way, and the contents. Dear congregation, it's always touching when we see people for the last time. Especially when that our people, which we love so much, which we have a tender tie. Maybe you remember that you for the last time saw your father pass away, your mother, your sister. Maybe there are unforgettable remembrances. The last word, the last look, the last gesture. It can be printed, pressed in our heart and memory. Unforgettable. And now, in this moment, we stand still at the last moments of our Lord Jesus Christ here in this world. And I hope that his last gesture by the Holy Spirit may be pressed deep in your heart so that you never can forget this morning. That your eyes really saw by faith the blessed Savior, blessing hands. We read in the Old Testament that Moses, the man of God, left his people, with which he lived for such a long time, with which he wandered through the desert 40 years. And then he says this to them, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou, both thou and thy seed, may live. Do you feel the love of the man of God? I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. Do you feel the love? How much more is the heart of the blessed Savior filled with love? Not only death, but also life. Not only the curse, but also the blessing. Is your heart going out to that blessing? To be really blessed by the Savior, to live under his blessing hands. What a wonderful sight. What a wonderful gesture. That's the last thing what they saw when they were for the last time together with their most beloved one. That he lifted up his hands and blessed them. That's a wonderful gesture. So the Lord went to heaven, hands lifted up, blessing, his hands spread out upon his disciples, upon his church, blessing and inviting. There is room under these blessing hands for you. There is salvation. There are eternal blessings. There is forgiveness. There is eternal love. But only under these blessing hands. There is no other place. There is no other man. There is no other God where you can find this. For in this gesture is shown to us everything what the Lord Jesus did for his church. And then we consider in the first place the place which the Lord Jesus chose for his depart. My dear children, you know there are a lot of towns and villages important in the life of the Lord Jesus. My dear children, you know all where the Lord Jesus had been born, isn't it? Bethlehem, house of bread. There came the bread of life. And you all know maybe where the Lord Jesus grew up. Nazareth, in Galilee, despised. Can out of Nazareth come something good? It can. It came. The Savior of the world was living there, growing up as a child to an adult, and came from there to preach the gospel, to do his wonders. And maybe you know where the Lord Jesus lived. In Capernaum. There he did a great deal of his wonders. And you know where the Lord Jesus has been crucified. In Jerusalem. All places and towns which were important in his life. Now, in the last moment of his life, he led his disciples to Bethany, at the slope of the mountain of Olives, about 2 miles distance from Jerusalem. Why to Bethany? Maybe you all remember that Bethany had a special place in the heart and the life of the Savior. There in Bethany, there was a house where he really was welcome. We read that in this way only one time in the Bible, that Jesus loved Martha, Maria, and their brother Lazarus. Jesus loved them. He was there at home. There was a house where they were looking forward to his coming. And they were glad, really glad, when he was there. Is your house a Bethany? Is your heart a Bethany? The place where Jesus is welcome, is desired. Is that your prayer, children? O dear Savior, come and live in my heart. My young people, is that your desire? Oh, let it be. Let our heart and life and home may be like a Bethany, where the Lord Jesus was expected. Where people were longing for his coming, his teaching. Oh, you know how the Lord Jesus once was teaching there Martha, Mariah, Lazarus, many other people. And that Martha had no time. She was so busy there that the Lord had to warn her, thou art careful and troubled about many things. That's wrong. That's really wrong. We live in a busy time too, isn't it? So often I hear, I have no time. You have time. You have 24 hours time every day to seek the Lord. Use that time, for the time is short and it's very shortly gone. I think there are a lot of people in hell. Everybody who is in hell knows I had time. I had a lot of time. But I didn't use that time. I used my time in vain things. I didn't use the time of grace. That was the warning in Bethany. There was a Mariah, thirsty, hungry for the word of the living God, feeling the power of the word of Jesus. There he could preach. Their hearts were hungry. That's a special remembrance. I remember when I was a candidate, not yet a pastor. I preached maybe for the sixth time then, that I had a service in the northern part of our country. And I couldn't go on. I nearly stopped. I had no words. Everything became so closed. I didn't know how to continue. And then I felt, really felt, that there were people in the congregation which felt my need. And were crying to the Lord. And there came such a power and such a joy and liberty and freedom in my heart to preach the gospel. That's an unforgettable remembrance. The Lord Jesus, he was very man, very God, and very man. And was, of course, very sad when people were troubled and careful and there was no place for the word. And very happy. And he felt, the word is going in. People are eating it, are believing it, are doing it. That's the pleasure of a preacher. That's also the pleasure of the preacher. That's a nice remembrance. Bethany was really a blessed place. There the Lord Jesus came too late. That's what they thought. And Lazarus became sick more and more and died. And he helped everybody. But he didn't help them. And then it appeared what also lived in the hearts of the sisters. Rebellion. Anger. Why? When everything goes according our wish, then we are such nice people. But when the Lord Jesus goes ways with us against our flesh, then it becomes clear what's living in us. That's what we need. To know ourselves. To see there is nothing in me. Nothing, only sin. Everything is only in Christ. And there he revealed himself in the power of his resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. And there he revealed himself in his wonderful power to quick Lazarus. How had the Lord been glorified there in Bethany? What a blessed place, what a blessed house. And now he went there. And was for the last time with his disciples. From out Bethany, maybe you remember that he made his entrance, his glorious entrance in Jerusalem. When the people were crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the names of the Lord. And 3 days later on, crucify him. Away with him. But from our Bethany, he started his glorious entrance. And that place is now blessed with the blessing Savior. A wonderful place, a small village, not well known in the world, but chosen by the Lord to do his wonders. And there he is. And there he lifts up his hands. That's our second thought. And he lifted up his hands. What's the meaning of lifting up his hands? Maybe children, you understand? In this gesture, the Lord Jesus shows who he really is. He is the high priest of his people. He departs from them as the blessing high priest. He shows them what he is going to do in heaven. Lifting up his hands. And maybe you know what is the work of a high priest. 3 things. Maybe you remember, my young people, from catechism class, the work of the high priest is in the first place offering, in the second place praying, in the third place blessing. So in this lifting of his hands, the Lord shows what he shall do. And what he did. His sacrifice. That's finished. A perfect atonement. A complete redemption. Everything we need for salvation. To be reconciled with God. We find it in this blessed high priest. There is such a fullness in his offer. Did you see it? Did you feel the power of his blood? Are you thirsty for the blood of this blessed high priest applied to your own heart unto salvation for your soul and peace for your heart? That's what he shows in this gesture. I am the only high priest. There's only one who can reconcile you with God. There's one sacrifice more than enough for all your sins. And his hands are blessing stretched out, inviting. For he ascends to heaven as a savior. As the high priest. When he comes back, he comes as our judge. That shall be the eternal difference. And when we reject the high priest, then we shall meet every man, the judge. No one can escape Jesus. He comes now to us, each of us, in this preaching, with hands lifted up and stretched out. Child, boy, girl, man, woman, come. There is place, there is room for all your sins. Come. Do you see it? Do you feel it? His hands stretched out to you this morning in the gospel? With the fullness of his sacrifice? That's what you need. To see Jesus. To believe it. To come. To flee to him. To feel the power of his sacrifice. Forgiving power. Loving power. Everything you need to be filled with eternal life. That's his last gesture. And there he shows how he is praying for his people. For we have a praying high priest who is always praying for his people. Also when we sin. The Lord's people can have times that they hardly can pray. That they feel themselves a hypocrite. Maybe when we look back in this week, what happened in our lives, in our words, in our thoughts. How do we need this blessed high priest, this praying high priest? Children, when we have sinned, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What a comfort. Sometimes we cannot pray. We are so dark, so cold, so empty. We feel our prayers are only words. Oh Lord, I cannot pray. I have no prayer. I'm so poor. I'm so needy. But we have a high priest. Always praying. Always praying. For his poor, needy people. I have prayed that your face shall not cease. And in his prayer is the comfort, is the strength, is the perseverance, is the power by which we are saved, shall be saved. We are kept. We are saved by his prayer. Oh, to see the Savior, hands lifted up, the heavenly high priest, going now to heaven to prepare a place for all his people, for all who fled under that hand stretched out. Father, I will that they are with me which thou hast given unto me. And therefore it happens, isn't it, that our hearts are lifted up. It's so very nice expressed in our four for celebrating the Lord's Supper, that we must not stay at the elements of bread and wine, but must lift up our hearts there where our Savior is. There he went. Hands stretched out as the praying high priest, always praying for his people. And the third work of a high priest, and this high priest, is blessing. He pours out his blessing. We are looking forward to Pentecost, isn't it? How do we need the blessing of this blessed high priest? The fullness of the knowledge of God. Are you longing for it? For we have nothing from ourselves. We have nothing in ourselves. We are quite dependent on the blessing of this high priest. What he works, what he pours out and works out in our heart and life. But it's our duty to look upon. And his hands are stretched out when we are so dead. When we are so cold, when we are so bad, when we are so unworthy, then everything you find under this, the hands lifted up, everything, there is a fullness of grace. There is a fullness of knowledge. There is a fullness of love. There is a fullness of life in this blessed Savior. And you all find it under his blessing hands. What is the blessing? What are the wonders of his blessing? Well, this is also the comfort for the Lord's people. The Lord Jesus has stretched out his hands upon his disciples, upon his whole church. From all ages and all places. And what does it mean? Well, that you are a blessed man, a blessed child. That you are really blessed when you belong to him. That the Lord Jesus took away your curse, your sin, your hell, everything which can make separation between you and God. That's the reality. That always is the same. He is always the same in blessing his people. And the blessings which he gave you, he never takes them away. You never can lose it. What the Lord Jesus did for you, you can never lose. There can be times that you cannot see it, that you cannot feel it. There can be times that you fear the opposite, but the reality of his blessed hands lifted up is, you belong to me. I died for your sins. I am preparing place for you in heaven. And you are a blessed man. When you belong to Christ really. Then you are blessed in your personal life. You are blessed in your prayers. You are blessed in your family life. You are blessed at your work. You are a blessing. A blessed man is a blessing. Maybe you remember that the Lord spoke to Abram, I shall bless you and be a blessing. That's the rich gospel. That's the wonderful comfort. The Lord's people is living under the hands lifted up blessing of the Savior. That's a wonderful place. That's a safe place. Under the hands of the Savior, we feel it really. What is divine love? What is eternal peace? What is the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit? Under the blessing hands of our Savior, it becomes real. It becomes full. What a place, congregation. Can you stay away? Can you miss this blessing hands? Can you miss this blessing high priest? You cannot miss him. And I hope that you all, also our young people, feel that. One thing is needful. So spoke the Lord Jesus to Martha, when she was so busy and full of care with other things. One thing is needful. That were his words sounding in Bethany. And now when he departs from them, his hands are spread out over them. Blessing hands. Wonderful hands. A wonderful place where is forgiveness and life. where is light, eternal light, for a dark and unworthy sinner. Oh, that it may be impressed in our hearts and souls, the blessing of that high priest. Therefore, we consider in the third place the contents of it. And therefore, we read together Numbers 6, the verses 24 till 26. For there is no place in the Bible which I could find where so nice and wonderful is expressed what is the contents of that blessing. For we read in our text, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. What does it mean when the Lord bless you? When you are really a blessed man or woman or child, what does that really mean? Well, we consider then for a while this blessing. The Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, he is the same into all eternity, in his power, in his faithfulness, in his love. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. To be blessed by the Lord. All the blessings of the covenant of grace, all the fullness of divine love. Our words are too poor to express the richness and the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. Therefore we read, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. And he doesn't add sorrow. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. A lot of people want to become rich. Rich in money. But what do you have when you must die? When you are a billionaire? The blessing of the Lord makes rich. The Lord bless thee. In the fullness of his love, in the fullness of his presence, in the fullness of his grace. You must feel it. You must receive it. To really know what is the blessing of the Lord is the fullness of his divine love, eternal love. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, the Father himself loves thee. It's to have his divine favor. It's to belong to him for time and eternity. It's to be filled with him. It's to be made ready by him for eternal glory. It cannot be expressed in words how rich, how wonderful this blessing is. And this blessing is merited by our high priest. And out of his fullness, the Lord bless his people. And he blessed them with that fullness of divine blessing, so that they shall be a blessed people in their whole life, in all their circumstances, so that they shall be blessed into all eternity. Oh, my dear friends, what a richness, what a fullness is there in this divine blessing. And that's offered to us in the gospel. That's merited by the blessed Savior. Therefore the church may confess, and out of his fullness we all have received. Grace for grace. Oh, let that be the prayer of your heart and the desire of your soul, that you may part in this blessing, that you may experience the richness and the fullness of this divine blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. That belongs also to this blessing. We are living and journeying through the desert. We are living in dark places. We are living in the land of the enemy. We are surrounded by dangers and enemies. The devil is going around as a roaring lion, and he chains himself as an angel of light. How can we escape? How can we be saved? So many enemies in us, around us, our own flesh. And we are so weak. We are so inclined to falling. The Lord keep thee. So many times the enemies of our soul can say unto us, you shall never arrive at a place of peace. It's not possible for you. You deceive yourself. The Lord, the Almighty, the Eternal, the Faithful, Lord of the Covenant, he keeps thee. He does it. You are safe. You are in his arms. You are in his hands. That's sure. Nobody can get you out of his hands. May you feel that. The contents of that blessing. The protection of the Almighty God. There you are. There you go. What you do, where you live, you are in his hands. He keeps you. The Lord keeps you. It's a wonderful blessing. And so, in this blessing, we see more. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. What means that? Well, when you belong to the living church, and you know God really, and you worship him in spirit and truth, then you know the difference between what? Then the Lord hides his face in our canons of dirt, is confessed. That's for the children of God, more bitter than death. When the Lord hides his face, when we are so far away in our feeling from him. That was the deepest suffering of that wonderful servant of God, Job. When I'm looking forward, I don't see him. When I'm looking backward, I don't see him. And what a happy moment he had. When the light of heaven suddenly at once shined in his soul. I know my Redeemer lives. The Lord let his children feel that he loves them. The Lord reveals himself in our souls, in his wonderful, tender, eternal love. The Lord shows his face. That's so wonderful. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. And when that happens, then we see with the eyes of faith God. Then we see His friendly face. Then we feel His redeeming love. Then we are in His nearness. And there are no words to express what that is. When we are near to Him, when we feel His loving presence, when His face is shining upon us, when it is light in our heart, when the love of God is a wonderful, eternal reality. Children of God, more or less, you know what I mean. For it can better be experienced than expressed in words. When the Lord lets shine His face upon us, and when we see and feel His tender, eternal love, when He speaks to our soul, I love you with an eternal love, and therefore I draw you with cords of goodness. When the power of the Word is a reality in our heart, what makes the Lord His people happy? The world cannot make you happy. The people cannot make you happy either. A little bit for a short time. But the Lord, when His face is shining upon us, we have the foretaste of eternal joy. For what we hear and enjoy by moments, unforgettable, we shall enjoy in fullness, in eternity. When the Lord lifts up His face, let shine His face upon us, how can say how happy a man is who has that wonderful experience? Not only that the Lord bless you, also when you cannot feel it, but He makes it reality. When He lets shine His face upon me. And be gracious unto thee. Gracious unto thee. Gracious means His loving kindness as a wonderful reality in our hearts. What a blessing that you have the grace of God, His loving nearness of the eternal God. When people love us, that's a blessing. In the jail, I often meet and hear, nobody loves me. I never receive a visit. I never receive a letter. Therefore do I live. Nobody loves me. It's a blessing when you have people who love you. But when the Lord is gracious unto you, and He loves you, and you feel that love, and you are sure of that love, that cannot be compared with anything else. That's the contents of the blessing. That's what the Lord Jesus, as the praying high priest, who gave His life for His own flock, buried it. And that's the fruit. That's the blessing. The eternal God be your refuge. The eternal God be your dwelling place. And the Lord lift up His countenance. He's always looking unto you. You are always in His eyes. You are always in His loving care. You are never, never alone. Maybe sometimes you feel alone. When it's dark in your heart, when you fall in sin, when you are so far away But then the blessing of the Lord stays the same. My eye shall be upon you. You are never alone. You are always in His loving presence. He cares for you. His countenance is upon you. Where you are, what you do, what you suffer. And how many of the Lord's people has a sweet experience of it. It more than once happened that I visited the Lord's people in an hospital, that they were there for a surgery, and that they so wonderfully felt, the Lord has His eye upon me. And that they went to the room for surgery so peaceful and trusting in their Lord, not alone, that they could say, Pastor, I feel I'm not alone. The Lord is with me. His eye is upon me. That's the blessing of the Savior. That's the blessing of the High Priest. His eyes upon His people and give thee peace. Peace. My peace I give unto you, and my peace I left unto you. That's what we need. Peace. Do you know what is peace? Do you know it, my dear friends, in your own experience? Peace with God, and the peace which surpasses all understanding shall fill your heart and mind. When we are true believers, we have peace. When we went over from death into life, we came in a peaceful relation with God. When the Lord took away our sins, we received peace. But how sweet is it to experience that peace, to be filled with that peace. My peace I give unto you. It's not only the relation, it's also the experience. Reality. Peace here in your own heart. Your heart filled with that peace. So His hands are stretched out. That's the last thing what His church will see. And that's the last thing He did before He went back to the house of the Father. Blessing. And therefore we are here. He continues to bless. He is willing to bless. His hands are stretched out inviting to bless. But what shall it be? To despise the blessing hands. What shall it be to endure that blessing? To live for the world and the sin, and not desiring that blessing. Oh, my dear friends, the Savior is preached to us as our blessing High Priest. There is room for you under His hands. There is all what you need for time and eternity. There is eternal peace. There is eternal life. And therefore I beseech you, come, come, trust in Him, flee to Him. Such as you are, you cannot be too sinful. You cannot be too unworthy. There is room for the chief of sinners. There is safety under His blessing hands. Outside His blessing hands, there is curse. There is death. There is eternal death. Be warned. Don't despise these blessing hands. For the Lord Jesus, he went there, blessing. And so he is preached this very morning. So he is preached till the end of the world. And then he comes as the judge to judge the quick and the dead. And what shall it be to know this blessed gospel and not to accept it? To hear from the blessed Savior and the blessing Savior, blessing hands, and not to come to him. What shall that be when you shall meet Christ, preached to you in all his blessings, offered to you, and then seeing him on the throne, that you shall pray to the mountains, fell upon us, hide us from him who is sitting on the throne, his face. What shall there be, congregation? Let us be warned, and let us flee to him who the sinners receives, and eat with them, in whom the fullness is of love, blessing, grace for the chief of sinners. And let us live, children of God, out of his blessings, out of the richness of his grace. Let us consider more and more how blessed we are. How blessed by him, with one purpose, to give him the glory from now into all eternity. Amen. Let us pray and thank now. O blessed Savior, press it in the hearts of each of us when we go to our homes, that thou art in our heart, that we have it before our eyes, the blessed Savior lifted up his hands and blessed them. O Lord, that we all personally may receive that wonderful blessing, that the richness and the fullness preached to us makes us wholly jealous when we miss it, and that we may feel how wonderful and happy we are when we are really blessed. Give us grace to live out of the richness of that blessing, that we may be comforted, that we may feel it day by day in all our circumstances. The Lord is looking upon me. The Lord is praying for me. The Lord let his face shine upon me. O dear Lord, give us grace to know thee, to see thee, and so to be made ready for the day that what is here in part shall be in eternal perfection. Lord, pardon our sins. Be with our young people in the catechism classes. Be with us when we gather together with the older ones. Give us grace also this afternoon to preach thy gospel in the jail and among the disabled people. Lord, bless us and make us a blessing. Open also there the hearts. Lord, we are not worthy, the least of thy blessings, but we pray it only for Christ's sake. Amen.